Welcome to another episode of the Rebel Real Podcast. Hello.
Hello.
Wait, that's Longshot.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello. I thought you were going to do like a British version.
I can't fuck his streak up there, man. You know, I had to let him roll with it.
Yes. It gets better every time.
Every time.
Hello. Hello.
He's starting to add some pizzazz to it.
Yes. Hello.
La, 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 hello. La, la, la.
How are you today?
How are you?
How are you
guys? I'm not sure what to do with my hands.
I know what I'm doing.
You sit on them until they go numb, and then you try to crank one off.
There you go.
That's what you do.
Yes.
But not right now.
Not right now.
So, you know.
Watching Gone in 60 Seconds taught you a new move.
I do the Monty Burns finger waving thing that he does.
Smithy.
Excellent.
Yes, Mr. Burns.
Anyways.
So, how are you guys?
Good.
Excellent. You?
I'm doing better. I've actually had an okay week.
You look chipper.
The last couple of weeks of life. You know, I didn't get called fat by any kids this week.
There we go. That's a plus.
But an okay week. Things are moving to a new normal, I guess. And someone asked me what was going on listening to the podcast, because I've been kind of cryptic on the podcast.
They're like, yeah.
Man, you're going through some shit? I thought you were just... They thought I was just fucking around, like, making press for the show. And no, I'm not making press for the show.
Yeah.
But to make a long story short, you know, the word is out there now for most... You know, me and the wife are splitting. I'll just leave it at that. So, you know, my mind has been kind of crazy the last few weeks, but it's been a good week, actually. Some things have moved forward on things, and...
Could be a blessing in disguise.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. And, you know, maybe I'll get a new wife one day. Maybe. But right now, I just maybe some sex from somebody, but not you guys.
No.
I don't know. I'm just kidding. I'm not even desperate for that, you know. Yeah, I got bottles of lotion. I'm good.
10
bottles of lotion.
I've 10 years abstained here.
Man, poor Mal. I don't feel so bad.
One of my friends who...
I've only been a few weeks.
I think one of my friends has abstained for 15 years.
That poor
wow.
man.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. Not for the lack of trying.
Not for lack of trying.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so not a bad week, I guess. You know, so it is what it is.
It is what it is.
As y'all can see in recording here, I clean and rearrange the living room like a crazy person.
But no,
still.
I am happily single. I am not one of those pathetic incels. You've heard of that? Incels?
Yeah. Cells.
Incels.
Interlinked.
You know what it is, though?
Interlinked?
No. No, it's all these, like, guys who are like in their mid-30s or late 20s, and
with incels interlinked.
All they go, I forgot what incel's short for. Incelibate? I don't know.
Maybe that is.
Yeah.
I can see it.
Yeah.
That.
And they go online, and then all they do is, like, every time there's a couple's picture, they complain about it, and they say, you know, and it's like, yeah, that's nice that you have a girlfriend, but I try, and they always end up being bitches or something like that. You know, they always make up some kind of excuse that, you know, hey, I'm the greatest guy in the world. Look, I'm wearing a fedora. That's cool, my lady.
I'm wearing a fedora.
Yeah, <I know. laughs> That might be the weirdest part of this. Like, after 11 years, like...
But I refuse to be an incel.
I don't know how to be... Like, I'm not even sure how to be single again. Like, my flirt game is probably way off, you know?
Yeah.
I'll have to learn that again.
You don't have to answer to anyone.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
Yeah. You know? No more side glances from the other about getting something you want.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. I actually bought a movie and a game today without anyone bitching about it.
Guilt-free.
That's right.
I'll bitch at you for it
and
if you want
me to.
And I
didn't feel bad.
Yeah. Speaking of game, I was thinking about checking out Anthem, you know? Yeah.
Anthem?
Yeah.
It's BioWare.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, I bought two movies, for the record.
What'd you get?
I bought Bohemian Rhapsody, because I liked it, and I bought The Shape of Water.
I need to rent that.
And then I bought, you know, the next version of MLB, the show's fixing to come out, because baseball season's fixing to start, so... I got last year's version because Target had it on sale for $19.99 plus 25% off of their app.
Not bad.
I got last year's MLB The Show for $15. I haven't played it yet, but...
What's your favorite Queen song?
Yeah. You know, ooh.
Name your top three.
I really like Hammer to Fall.
Yeah.
Radio Gaga.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I like Flash Gordon, even though it's like so difficult. It's just a fun song.
Yeah, yeah.
But I really like Hammer to Fall. That's like crank it up, play it loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's probably one of my favorites.
Me, Somebody to Love. It's a really good song.
Yep.
Yeah, and
each morning I get up.
Yeah, everyone loves the whole Bohemian Rhapsody. That's in another tier in its own.
How about People on the Streets?
Have you seen the movie yet?
No, I haven't. Yeah. But I will check it out just for the music.
Yeah.
I know it's not accurate.
Right.
But
they changed a few things.
But yeah, they changed a few things just for the sake of the movie. Right. But I'll check it out just for the performance.
But it's suddenly become a front runner tomorrow night as possibly, you know, there are people thinking it could upset, you know, Roma and the other movies and possibly sneak in there and win Best Picture.
Man, that's some boring-ass movie will win. We know it.
I think
Black Panther is Roma just about cleaning? Black Panther's not going to win.
Yep.
It's a little bit deeper than that, but yeah.
Black Panther's not going to win.
I think Black Panther has.
Why? Because it's black? No.
No, because it would. I think it's the movie that we can champion behind that will win one for
people
superhero.
People are afraid it's
going to
be another crash.
Here's the thing, though. I saw a movie that I'll talk about and download this week that is a much better movie than even Black Panther, and it's not even a front runner. That's why I don't like Black Panther.
Well, I'm banking on the guilt. You know, I feel like. They have to give Black Panther something.
Black Panther's in the same state that Mad Max was a couple years ago. It's going to win like some technical stuff, probably costume design, sound editing, things like that. It's going to win like 4 or 5 awards, but they're all going to be sub tier awards, just like Mad Max.
Yeah,
did a couple
but
years
Black
ago.
Panther has such a great villain.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
but he wasn't even nominated for supporting or nothing,
which is BS.
So
yeah,
but we'll see. And
another one bites the dust is another favorite.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But Rami Malek, I think, definitely may win it for it because he embodied the spirit of Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
And deservedly so.
Did you watch Mr. Robot?
No, but I've heard good things about it.
Yeah. It's only 3 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it.
He's Egyptian.
Yeah. Yeah.
Egyptian.
Yeah, someone accused him of being cast in an all-white cast for that Gods of Egypt movie.
Oh, yeah.
He's in that. That's right.
Without realizing.
I actually like that movie.
It's
a good popcorn movie.
Yeah. Is it the one with, and was it directed by the Crow director?
Yeah, Alex Proyas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good popcorn flick.
Someone pointed out, he's an Egyptian, you idiot. Quit creating fake rage.
Right. Yeah, so we'll see who wins the Oscars. Oscars tomorrow night.
Yeah.
We'll talk.
I am skipping that. I'm cooking lasagna tomorrow.
I might tune in for a little bit, but mostly I'll just look who wins.
You like pasta, don't you?
Man, I'm an Italian at heart, I guess.
Dude, I'm
an Italian Vietnamese.
Yeah.
Dude, I make. Have you ever made pizza casserole before?
Well, yes, like, I have.
Okay, I was about to say. Yes. I impress people with my pizza casserole.
It's like white people, man. I love Mexican food.
Yeah.
So I'm a white Mexican.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love Italian food, man. It's great.
It's good stuff.
They're just European Mexicans.
Yeah.
It's true.
You think so?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, my mom looks more Italian than Mexican.
Have you ever had shark meat?
Matt the racist.
No, I haven't.
I tried shark one time. It's very tough meat, but it's there's a reason I asked that. But did you know that they found one of the Bruce sharks? You know who Bruce is, right?
No.
He's one of the model sharks for Jaws.
Oh.
And they were believed lost forever. And they recently discovered one in a junkyard in the outskirts of L.A., and Greg Nicotero and his special effects teams are rebuilding the shark.
Bruce,
put it in the new museum that's opening up later this year, the National Museum of Movies that's opening up near Hollywood.
Wow.
So they're rebuilding the Bruce shark to put in the museum, and they were believed to have all been lost because they destroyed most of the models after Jaws was filmed. They made a new model for the sequels, and then I think by the time they got to that third one, they used really bad CGI in Jaws 3D or whatever.
Something that should have been forgotten.
Is it just the shell, or is it the full mechanism?
They found mostly the shell with parts of the mechanism still in it.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it was just
speaking of Jaws, I got this movie poster today.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
Framed and everything?
Framed and everything. Oh, I had to buy the frame.
Jaws, that's beautiful. Jaws is a good, damn good movie.
Yeah.
So
my brother, he sent me a text. It's like, it was a book? It's like, yeah, but a very terrible book. Yeah.
Why didn't you get the one with Homer Simpson like floating at the top of his little floaty?
It was a book.
They don't have
it. It was a book and partially based on a true story.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll have to, yeah. We don't have March all planned out. Maybe Jaws will be done in March.
Yeah.
That's a great movie. I would like to discuss Jaws. So, cool jaw story there.
First Spielberg movie I ever watched.
Yeah.
Yep. That or E.T., but I'm certain it's Jaws. Right.
Yeah, it's either that, E.T., or Raiders. It's hard to remember. But yeah, we're getting old. We can't remember everything.
Yeah.
So, let's start the show.
Let's
start it officially. Not that we didn't already start, but you know, chit chat. Then we really get
the breeze.
Or as we always discuss, what we've download this is what we call it, where we what we consume this week into our brains and watched. And I didn't watch as much this week, but I did watch a really good movie. What did you guys watch?
I watched with Matt at the theaters. Thank you, Matt.
Yes.
For a movie, early screening for Fighting With My Family. It's a movie based on the true story of Paige, WWE superstar, mm-hmm. from bumfuck Egypt of England.
Yep.
But she was from Norwich. But it's a really, really entertaining, very, very well-directed movie.
I agree.
And I agree with the Rotten Tomatoes score. It is definitely deserve its high.
I saw a commercial for it or something. Is it kind of shot like documentary style in a way?
No.
Or maybe that's just the way the commercial looked or something.
The way the commercial looked, yeah, but... But, you know, I'm a WWE fan, of course, but it took some liberties with some of the things that happened. They covered some names here and there.
Right.
But, no, it was a well-done movie, for sure. You know, I think Vince Vaughn's character is a mix of two or three different coaches. Because Dusty Rhodes, if anyone's familiar, you know, famous 80s, 70s, 80s wrestler, mm-hmm. and he was definitely one of the main coaches for Paige. Anyways.
So Vince Vaughn's kind of one of those guys that's trying to make a career comeback with small roles like that.
Would have been great if he talked with a lisp.
Yeah.
Paige, baby.
And it was cool because Long has kept up with WWE forever, and I haven't watched it since Goldberg, Mankind, Sable, China.
You must have been like...
And so I kind of... To me, it was just watching a movie about something that I didn't know about, but I knew it was a true story, and so I feel like I got a better perspective.
Nick Frost was great in this movie, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was good. And
Lena Headey.
The whole thing was just really good, really genuine, great acting.
Oh, Lena Headey's in it. I love her.
Yeah.
Lady Macbeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
she gets naked in Lady Macbeth, dude. I was telling Mark about that. Yeah.
That's why I love Lynn. Hey, Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Gosh, she is so despicable in Game of Thrones.
No, she is, but
are you caught up with it yet?
No.
2 year break and you still haven't caught up?
I know, but she's just like, she's got like this, she oozes sexiness.
What season are you in?
Like four.
Four?
Yeah.
Skip five, get to six.
Yeah, but she oozes like this sexiness, man. Lena Headey. Is that how you say her last name? Headey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good enough.
But yeah. So.
Yeah, and then I think I forgot to mention this a few weeks ago. I watched The Meg. And I thought about it
a couple of times.
I saw it.
I liked it. It's good. It's entertaining.
I sat next to this lady, and we both hoot and hollered and laughed at this. You know, it didn't take itself seriously. And,
yeah, it wasn't exactly Sharknado. But it was a little over the top.
It's not hard to be better than Sharknado.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Sharknado is entertaining, but it's not serious at all. This one was fairly serious. I mean,
I heard Statham punches a shark, literally.
Yes, he punches a shark, dude.
I thought it was an entertaining movie.
I have to watch
it
just for that.
Because he's Irish, that's why it works.
It deserved all the money it made, too.
Yeah, it did.
It was funny, as my mother actually saw that. She calls me one night, and she was like, I'm going with my friend Lucille to the movies. We're going to go see this shark movie she wants to see because my friend Lucille. I'm like, Mom, you're going to see The Meg? She's like, yeah. I'm like, that's so weird.
Yeah. Is your mom into genre movies?
Not always. She'll watch some of the comic stuff. Like, she's going with me to see some of the comic movies, but generally, yeah, it's not her cup of tea.
Yeah. I know this lady who's about your mom's age, and she's all up in Marvel. You know.
Oh yeah.
She doesn't watch any other genre movies, but she knows her Marvel continuity. It's impressive. It's almost encyclopedic.
That's awesome.
Encyclopedic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tried to watch Magnum Force. I was trying to move along and, you know, watch Dirty Harry, trying to, you know, move along in the series. But my wife wasn't having it.
Was the Enforcer the one with the female protege?
I want to say so, because Magnum Force is the one where he, like,
corrupt cops.
Makes out and gets it on with his neighbor, and those are the vigilante cops.
I have a two-pack Blu-ray. It's Dirty Harry and Magnum Force. There's only two I have.
Yeah.
And then it was the Enforcer and Deadpool were the later movies, yeah.
I like the Enforcer.
Well, Sudden Impact is also...
Oh, was it?
There were five?
There's five total. Okay. Sudden Impact is after
Jim Carrey's
the Enforcer.
In the Deadpool,
Jim Carrey's in the Deadpool.
Yeah.
Where Dirty Harry has found himself a celebrity, and this person's targeting celebrities.
There's this lady I work with. She's about in her 60s, and she said that she was caught in a robbery this week.
Oh, wow.
And she says, I'm going to go get a gun. And I said, you should go get a 44 Magnum.
You won't even have to fire it, dude. As soon as you pull it out,
she probably thought
you were serious.
She was.
Yeah, yeah.
She was traumatized. I understand. It's like, I can't handle that gun.
You don't have to, man. Just pull it out.
Yeah, that thing's bigger than my forearm. I can't hold that gun.
But yeah, it does take a lot of skill to shoot a 44.
I was just kind of trolling her.
I've never shot a 44. I bought one because I wanted to shoot one, and I had recently watched Dirty Harry last year, and I was like, I want one. I'm going to get it because it's awesome. And then Jackie saw it come in. She's like, this is ridiculous. This is a ridiculous gun.
You're like, I'm trying to make up for something that's small. Well,
what if an elephant just starts traipsing along?
Don't you want to protect yourself against elephants? And don't you think we're due for a stampede?
I don't think a 44 Magnum would stop an elephant.
No, you need a 45-70 government. You need the same gun that Chris Pratt uses in Jurassic World.
You mean a 550?
Yeah. So I'm like, you could use that. But yeah, so she made me sell it, and I sold it to this guy who has a conservative talk show host. He's a conservative talk show host on a small channel, and it's like basically it's like dick and fart humor, but of the political world of the right wing.
Oh,
and I mean, he's a great guy, and he was just hamming it up because he bought it on Clint Eastwood's birthday.
Yeah,
and he thought it was so awesome that he was buying a 44 mag on Clint Eastwood's birthday that he took me to the Spaghetti Western, and I got a free meal out of it and $400. Sure. So not bad.
It's a good place to eat.
Yeah, yeah, really good. I think I told you about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But thank you, Matt, for
no problem.
Inviting me.
Anytime, Long.
Yeah, yeah.
Mark,
we got to do more movies together.
I watched an old movie. I don't know if you guys ever saw Six Pack with Kenny Rogers.
No.
Dude, it's an old... Yeah, it's kind of a movie you got to grow up watching. It's like Kenny Rogers is a race car driver, and he takes one of these six kids. You try to steal his parts, but they have no parents, so he takes them under his wing. They become like his pit crew. It's 80s cheese. It's the only... People don't realize Kenny Rogers only did one theatrical movie. It was Six Pack. Everyone thinks he did more movies, but he did a lot of TV movies.
Oh, yeah.
He did The Gambler. He was supposed to be in the Best Little Whorehouse, but his touring kept him from being in it, so he never did Best Little Whorehouse with Dolly Parton.
Was he in Lonesome Dove, by chance?
Yes, he is in Lonesome Dove, but that was a television movie, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in Lonesome Dove.
Yeah, I know, and Robert Duvall had to take at it, too.
And Kenny Rogers, the movie was highly successful at the box office. It still never had a Blu-ray release. It's even hard to find on DVD, so I watched it on Fire Stick on the Kodi app, and it's still a fun movie. It actually holds up pretty well for an old 80s flick. But the new movie I watched this week, I guess in my sappiness lately, I don't know. I watched The Star Is Born, man. I wanted to watch it. And, you know, I can't tell you the first damn thing about Lady Gaga other than she's famous, but she's absolutely incredible in this movie.
I heard she knocked it out of the ballpark.
Bradley Cooper is fantastic.
Bradley Cooper supposed to be in this movie?
He's just a singer. It's not based on a true story.
He kind of looks like...
He tried to model
Pearl Jam.
No, he just kind of
better.
He just modeled... He actually wanted to model his character off Sam Elliott. And then Sam Elliott got cast in the movie, and Bradley Cooper
was his dream casting.
Yeah. And it's an incredible, incredible film. It is really good from beginning to end. A little sad at the end, but it all comes together. And
it's a remake.
Yeah, yeah. It's the fourth time it's been made. The most famous version is the Streisand, Chris Christopherson version.
Oh, yeah.
In the 70s. And it is just phenomenal. My mom even watched it yesterday, she said, with her friend, and she loved it. It's really, really good. And
is it nominated this year?
Yeah, it's got Bradley Cooper strangely did not get a direction nomination, even though he should have. But he's nominated for Best Actor. She's nominated. It's nominated for Best Picture. I enjoyed Bohemian Rhapsody a lot, but Star Wars is a better movie because Bohemian Rhapsody has a lot of fluff to it, where A Star Is Born is really solid from beginning to end without any fluff, if that makes sense. You know? And
very substantive.
Yeah. And a couple days later, I'm still thinking about it, and that's a sign of a good movie. Mm-hmm. It really is solid from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm. Last time I thought about something after finishing playing it or watching it was The Walking Dead on video game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The video game version.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about in that game.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Bradley Cooper, you know, he He should have won a couple of years ago for American Sniper. I thought he was excellent as Chris Kyle, and he's really good in this. And he's probably going to lose to Rami Malek from the looks of things. But if Cooper was to win too, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, we'll see.
Because he is so good, man. And he's become a really good actor. You know, he's excellent in the movie, and he did his own songs. The music is great in the movie. Lady Gaga, her music that she sings
she made him
is great.
Sing.
Yeah, she made him sing. She told her, "I'm not doing a movie if we lip sync. It has to be real." And he's really good in it. And she really is. I know she's real famous. She's like the new Madonna of the new era, but she is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean,
not as controversial.
No, she's not as
controversial. Not as controversial.
Yeah, she's only controversial in a different way.
Yeah.
You know?
You never hear one Madonna of her songs and say, "Hey, this song is about a big dick."
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Madonna was more in your face sexuality.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And you get so engaged, and they're so good in it that you get engaged in the characters and you feel like you go on a 2-hour journey with these characters. So that's a sign of good characters in a movie, mm-hmm. when you feel like you went on a journey with them and you care at the end. And I was crying like a kid at the end, man. It's
one of those movies.
It's sad at the end, but it's one of those, like, it comes together, you know. So you're crying for a good reason. You know?
I'll have to be in a certain mood to watch a movie like that.
Yeah,
that and Schindler's List, totally different dynamic and drama. But I've only seen
Schindler's
once.
List. Seinfeld.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Schindler's List I have seen one time, and I've never watched it again because it's really hard to watch.
Wasn't that the list that was released this past week with Robert Kraft on it? Was that? No?
Too soon, man.
Too soon?
Way too soon. Let's talk about it. That was
a Holocaust, you monster.
It's supposed to be funny.
Darn it. I don't have a Jewish...
Robert Kraft today was caught in the prostitution ring.
Yep.
Hopefully these were like these were adult women and not underage girls.
Yeah,
right?
He's worth like $6 billion. You can't get girls to come to the house.
He'll.
It's like what?
He's gonna walk scot-free.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. But I'm just like, you can't get girls to come to the house. It's like what?
I know, man.
How humiliating.
And the memes are coming. The internet always wins.
He will lose ownership though. He'll have to turn it over to his son.
Probably.
Yeah, and Goodell ain't gonna play. I mean,
or Vince McMahon might buy it.
Vince McMahon.
Well, I thought Kraft already had it set up where his son was going to take over the Patriots. Right. I thought it was set up like that, similar to what happened here in Eastwood and McNair. I think
time for him to retire anyway.
Yeah. There you go.
Retire and go have all the prostitutes you want. So, you know. So, now that Matt made a horrible joke, let's talk about our featured movie today that is supposed to
racist.
Be funny.
Yes.
Matt the racist. No, no, he's you're half Hispanic, right?
I'm a little bit more than half Hispanic, which also means I'm part American Indian, because as you know, Hispanics are half American.
Are you 10% to me?
Well, no, like
I'm 1% French.
Hispanic. I'm not like Elizabeth Warren. And I'm like, you know, a half of a percent. But but Hispanics, the reason we have Mexicans is because the Spaniards, you know, forcibly mated with the Indians, the Mayans, the Aztecs. And they created Mexicans. So you have Indians. You have the people that are darker are more Indian. The people that are lighter are more European. So
this is American.
Every Hispanic.
Dude, we're all 90% half-breeds.
Well, we are living in the former province of Mexico.
Yeah.
So
It was. They were citizens of this place. Used to be called Texicans.
Yeah.
They were the Texicans.
Anyways.
But yeah.
So, thanks for the history lesson.
No problem.
So let's talk The Naked Gun from the Files. It's got a long title, The Files of Police Squad, but I just call it The Naked Gun.
Yes.
Yes.
Which is a 1988 movie starring Leslie Nielsen, which is done back when spoof movies were truly spoof movies.
Yes.
And done in the right way. Now, this movie made today probably wouldn't be funny, it wouldn't work, and be full of like sex jokes.
Yeah.
And this movie has some sex jokes, and don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. but they would solely rely on that if they made this movie today. Very much a product of the 80s, even though the series went into the 90s with its sequels. But this movie fits firmly in the 1980s for sure.
Yeah.
But that's why it works on so many levels. I don't remember the first time I saw this. I remember it's funny, watching it again this week, it's the first time I watched it in a long time. But it all came back to me so quickly. Like, you remember everything. You're like, I remember this scene. And it's just one of those movies that you watch and it's embedded in your brain and you simply remember it.
Did it make you smile, at least?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you're tough on comedy.
I know. I didn't probably laugh as hard as I would have when I was a kid, but it definitely made me smile.
Did you catch any jokes you didn't catch before?
No, but I noticed more like, I think I noticed more now, like, how straight-faced they all are.
Yeah.
This is some really funny
tunnel vision,
shit.
Man. They have tunnel vision.
Yeah.
They don't crack. I'm sure behind the scenes they cracked. I'm sure there's outtakes out there where they're just laughing left and right.
Yeah.
But it's just like, the scene where he has his hand in the fish thing, and he takes it out, and he shakes Ricardo Montalban's hand, and it's all wet, and they both just look at each other with these straight faces, and I'm like, it's just, and you're laughing watching it, but these characters don't flinch.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant comedy for that reason.
It really is.
That scene where he broke up with Jane in the ballroom, he says, he, you know, left it at that, we're done, he turns around and says, and I faked every orgasm.
Right.
And she's like, it's like, usually women would say that, you know, right. But he subverted it and it's like a guy saying
it. Even all the supporting characters, like O.J. Simpson is in this. Obviously, this is pre-murder O.J. Simpson. And, you know, he gets just trashed in this movie. He's always getting beat up and everything. And he just keeps this look on his face. OJ does a great job of never breaking character. He just goes through all this and just like, yeah, whatever, you know. And he has literal shit beat out throughout the whole movie.
Drugs.
And he's
fantastic. Give this man some drugs.
And I wonder.
Heroin. Oh, you gotta give
that's
me.
A tall order.
Yeah, and he's like telling him the crime scene, describing it, but Frank thinks it's what he wanted.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
With a straight face. Yeah. You know? And I don't know if you noticed this, but I didn't notice this until I was much older when they were in the airport scene and they were walking away from the plane.
Yeah.
If you look in the background where the plane was emptying the luggage.
Oh, they start pulling it with them, right?
No. Like when they're unloading the luggage from the plane, you just see them just chucking it on the floor. Missing the conveyor. They're just throwing it, you know, just little touches like that.
And there's little things. I guess I also never noticed that at the beginning, all the America's bad guys that are in the same room.
Yeah.
And it's a play of words with Spectre from James Bond.
Yes.
Like the name of their gang. I didn't, like, Spectrin or something. I never picked up on
that.
The
first scene. Yeah.
And, but, you know, this isn't the first time watch again for you, is it?
No,
you've seen
it,
this before, right?
It's not, but I always felt like it was on for like a long time. There was a span of time where the, you know, 22 and a half and 33 and a quarter or whatever, it was on like all the time, and so I always got them mixed up. You know, just like Dirty Harry.
I don't remember the sequels. I always remember this one for some reason.
Dirty Harry, I always thought the vigilante cop was in Dirty Harry, but it was actually in Magnum Force, and Dirty Harry was the ransom note guy, the sniper. But yeah, same with this one. This one I got a lot of parts mixed up, and it was fun watching it again. There's parts that I really like. You know, the sexuality jokes are really funny. Nice beaver. Oh, thanks. I had it stuffed earlier.
Or he's like, so many things remind me of my ex-wife, and he sees the water tower thing.
Yes, the
two water towers. Everywhere I look, something reminds me of her.
And then he gets off the plane, and he's like, "And you're gonna try to write a paper about me, a hero, huh? Oh, don't you know that a man can hurt inside?" Frank, it's not for you. It's Weird Al Yankovic's on the plane. And I'm like, oh shit, Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah, he hasn't aged.
No, man.
No.
It's kind of funny, you know, the dictator scene in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Like, they show Gaddafi and Arafat.
Yeah.
They're both dead.
Yeah.
And then you see this, you know, Mikhail Gorbachev. There's no more Cold War since then. And Ayatollah.
I like how family gets dead.
Gorbachev's still alive, right?
Yeah.
I heard he's in a resting home. Like, he's not always well.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Did you get to see the, you remember that Family Guy spoof? This where he Stewie fights Bin Laden, and then it's the same music and everything, the same theme.
I might have seen it. I mean,
I sent it to you. I sent it to you.
Oh,
and at the end, they're like, "Who are you?" He's like, "I'm Stewie from Quahog. Don't let me catch you guys in Rhode Island." And he's like, "Whoa!" And he falls on his scooter, and it's like, and you just see the front of his scooter.
Oh, I have
and
seen
he's
that,
driving. So, yeah. And I was like, man, this is. I was like, obviously, you know, Naked Gun did it first, but I'm like, this is a great spoof of a spoof. Mm. And Long was like, it's a spoof of a spoof. I was like, yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, very very entertaining, especially for its age. And it's funny. I guess the Queen actually visited a game in like 2004, an Oakland A's game, and they showed the spoof, the part where her impersonator, the Queen impersonator, threw out the first pitch,
right.
And played it on the screen, and it so happened that Reggie
was at the game.
Yeah. That was pretty funny. Interesting. Yeah,
did you like that first pitch he did?
Yes.
The corkscrew pitch.
Yes.
And the reaction from the baseball players. They're all slack jawed. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Some of them are real baseball players, too.
Yeah. Reggie Jackson and Jay Johnston are both real baseball players in the movie.
The umpires are real.
Yeah.
Number 22 is real.
That's the only thing that I was watching this, man. Dude, y'all. Just as I'm trying to get to 2019, a new season, I have to watch this movie, and who do I see? Joe West.
Oh my God.
Anyone knows that Joe West is enemy number one in Houston right now for the Altuve homer that wasn't in the playoffs this year. I'm like, fuck, man. Just had to remind me about that shit watching this movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's Joe West, a very young Joe West, in a cameo in this movie, and I still want to punch him.
Mm-hmm.
He's enemy number one in Houston right now for the Astros.
I don't remember him.
Yeah, he. I don't know if you watched the ALCS this year, but Altuve hit that ball over the wall. They said that was a home run, and they had it reviewed, and Joe West said, no, it wasn't a homer, and said Altuve was out. So,
because of fan interference.
It changed the tide of that game in the playoffs this year for the Astros.
Yeah.
So Joe West is not real liked in Houston right now.
Yeah.
Is he an umpire?
Yeah, he's an umpire. He's a real major league umpire.
He used to be a baseball?
No, he's just an umpire. He's been
I want to say that's
years.
Not the first controversial play he's ever called.
He's been in a few, so yes. So
This
movie reminded me of my hatred for Joe West, but that's okay.
Is he the one that got the sand kicked on the...
Oh, he probably has. There's been a lot... Oh,
no, in the movie. He's the white-haired umpire.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was out. You know,
yeah, that's
the whole baseball scene is just icing on the cake for me personally. That was the hallmark... The whole entire baseball.
Just how he's trying to search the players. It's comedy genius, and all the players look at their face, and he pulls it off in a way that makes sense. Like, there's no way this can really happen in a baseball game, but somehow it works.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the land of the land.
With the bombs in the air.
Yes.
The side glances from the Marine.
Yes.
It's just they did a perfect job with capturing reactions.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorite subtle jokes in the movie was when they were in the lab.
Yeah.
And it's a very quick joke, but when the professor was walking them into the lab, you know, the doctor and George walked through the door, and Leslie Nielsen, he walked around the door, so he walked past the door, like, instead of using the door, he walked in front of the camera, you know, instead of using the door like the other two. It was a quick, subtle joke.
Yeah. And I actually, you know, I did not know this was based on a TV series. It only lasted like one season, like 12 episodes.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know that. I always thought that the subtitle from The Files of Police Squad was just sort of like part of the spoof, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that there was a TV show called Police Squad that starred Leslie Nielsen for a few episodes. Like I said, it didn't last very long.
Yeah, 1982.
Yeah, him and a few other characters are from that show that made it into the movie. And I guess it's the same directing team, and it was called Zazz Productions. I guess they did a lot of spoof things back then. They were known for comedies and things
like that.
Yeah.
Airplane. Put them on the map.
Mm-hmm.
Major League?
No.
No.
Airplane.
Major League was after this.
Top Secret. Naked Guns 1 through 3. Hot Shots 1 and 2.
Yeah, Hot Shots.
And I think.
The Major League's not really
and
a
they did,
as much as a comedy.
They did Scary Movie 3.
Did they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and that had Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah.
Parts of Scary Movie 3 were funny.
That's all right.
Yeah, and then the end, whenever the aliens are like, yes, we pee out of our fingers.
It was just a paycheck.
Yeah, it was a paycheck.
Damn.
And,
It was funny watching Dirty Harry last week. I was able to instantly pick off on a spoof that they did of Dirty Harry. In Dirty Harry, You know, the mayor comments about his incident shooting a guy in public. He's like, I don't agree with your policies. He's like, well, when a naked man is chasing a woman through the town with a butcher knife, it's my policy to shoot him. And then, you know, Leslie Nielsen, he's like, well, when three guys are stabbing a man in the middle of the street, that was Shakespeare in the Park. It's like, well, they shouldn't have been stabbing. They're really good actors. I don't think that's what he said.
No.
The gist, yeah.
The press conferencing was pretty funny.
Yes.
A pee joke.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like there was, and I was talking about this, I feel like there's a lot of long pee jokes, and I wonder if this stems from In a League of Their Own. Like, everyone's trying to outdo Tom Hanks or something for the longest pee.
I've never seen that movie.
Because
you see In a League of Their Own?
Yeah, you had this one, and then you have Austin Powers, the first Austin Powers, if you don't remember, when he gets unfrozen, he goes through this really, really long pee.
Yeah.
And they make sure that you hear the urine hitting the water.
Yeah.
And it stops, and it starts, and it stops, and it starts.
Yeah.
And he's, like, using his prostate muscles or whatever to stop his pee or whatever. And so I'm like, are we literally in a pissing match with each other over a long pissing scene?
I'm sure they're homages.
It was probably an 80s thing. Yeah, you had homages to each other, you know. And nowadays it would be probably like, you know, cum jokes or something. You know,
probably.
Movies have changed a time. You know, you could do a pee joke back then. Now let's see what kind of dirty sex joke we can make.
It worked in Superbad.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not the going, it's the coming. The coming? Oh, you mean like, Seth Rogen.
Ricardo Montalban. He gets this role because the producers liked him as Khan in Star Trek II. And,
really?
He's such... This just kind of reminds me of like watching James Caan in Elf.
Oh, yeah.
He's like that... He's that macho guy. You know, he's handsome and, you know, God, he's
suave.
That man's man.
Suave,
yeah, and so him up against the comedic genius of Leslie Nielsen playing the straight guy is what makes every scene they're in together really funny in a lot of ways, because Montalban is just like, it's just like James Caan in Elf. Whenever here you have Will Ferrell just doing hilariously stupid things, and Caan's just looking at him like, and don't get me wrong, they're two different, one's a comedy, one's a spoof comedy, but there's very similar dynamics when you get that straight man's man in a movie and you play the comedy off of him.
Yeah.
And I think that's hilarious casting. You know,
yeah.
I thought that was great.
Wasn't he an Oscar winner?
Montalban, he won for something. I can't remember what.
Yeah, because the director,
yeah, that or an Emmy.
Yeah, they wanted it. I know they wanted an Oscar winner for...
that was
a bad guy.
Kennedy was the Oscar winner.
George Kennedy.
He won an Oscar.
Oh, okay.
And he actually wanted to be in the movie. He wanted to do something because he did so much serious stuff over the years that George Kennedy wanted to do a comedy, and he kept telling his agent, I want to do something fun and funny. And he campaigned for this role. George Kennedy wanted to do something fun. So he won an Oscar for something.
I remember a joke from... the second movie, The Smell of Fear.
Oh, The Smell of Fear, yes.
Robert Goulet was the main villain in that one. And he's started dating Jane or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Leslie Nielsen is like, so, what's it like being with the redheaded minx or whatever? She's being really mean about it. And then Jane's like, we need to be adults here. And it's like, I am being an adult, Jane. Huh? Well, what do you think, huh, Mr. Poopy Pants?
Mr. Poopy Pants.
I think the second one is they're really good.
What about the third one?
The third one was good too.
He's retiring, and they have like all the outfits on the wall, and they turn, and J. Edgar Hoover's is on there, and it's a dress and high heels.
Yeah, there was one. Well, in the second one too, it's kind of a callback in a way, where they were showing all the disappointments in history. You know, they were showing the Hindenburg picture of the Hindenburg, and then the next picture was the Hubble Space Telescope. You know, before it was repaired.
Yeah.
And then one was "Read My Lips,"
and this "Read My Lips."
And then another one was showed Chamberlain from before World War II saying that Hitler has agreed to peace or something like that. You know, the third one had a really funny scene where Drebin was undercover prison inmate.
Oh yeah, that was the one with
Fred Ward.
No, yeah, Fred Ward. But then the sergeant Ed I can't think of his name right now. He was in Seven. You know, he was in Full Metal Jacket.
Arlie Ermey?
Arlie Ermey, yes.
Was he in it?
Yeah, he was the warden.
Oh, he was, that's right.
This isn't gruel. This is more like, or no, this isn't slop. This is more like gruel.
Yeah, he was like
and
trying to start
Chardonnay,
the riot.
It's,
yeah, this Chateaubriand.
Yes.
This was...
it's supposed to be mildly chilled, and it's room temperature.
What are we, animals?
No, we're...
Homo sapiens?
Yeah!
Yeah.
Homo sapiens?
Homo sapiens.
Yeah, so George Kenney won a Best Supporting Actor Oscar for Cool Hand Luke.
Cool Hand Luke.
I need to watch that.
Ricardo Montalban has won Emmys, but no Oscars.
I like watching good classic movies, even like pre-rating system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a weird period between 1930 to 1969.
I want to say Rotten Tomatoes says that Wizard of Oz is the best movie ever made.
I couldn't agree with that.
It's hard to argue against that. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with it. I mean, you could say lack of graphics, but I mean, it's a product of its time.
It was a product of definitely the Great Depression.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, Three Little Pigs was also Disney cartoon. Three Little Pigs had one of the longest running runs in the theater because people loved watching it. Mm-hmm. It had a really catchy song, and anyways, we're going off off the beaten path.
But I think overall, I think The Naked Gun is still comedy gold. You know, somebody who's never watched it before might watch it, and they might laugh at some of the small gags and stuff, and but they might not get all the jokes because people like nowadays want. Some of the jokes are very subtle in this, and people nowadays want it all handed to them. And I can see how people could watch this and go, this isn't very funny, because they just don't get that. It is a product of its time, but it also is a product of time that holds up well today, I think, in a lot of ways.
Kind of like Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but I think this movie holds up even, as far as time, though, this might even hold up better than Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to show someone a comedy gold, that I think I would maybe show them this over Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
You know, just because Blazing Saddles is very much a product of the late 70s.
Yeah, it was definitely more about racism.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but, I mean, not that it's, you know,
right,
diminished the seriousness of it, you know. So.
But this, it's a really fun movie, and it just brought back a lot of memories of watching this many times back in the day. And I, like I said, I watched it and realized, man, I remember this. Classic baseball scene in it, which is just gold.
Yes.
Know? And Leslie Nielsen, he's hilarious. I mean, it's just point blank. He comes from that era of comedians that I still think are the best. The Chevy Chases, the Steve Martins, that era in the 80s. We had guys that, to this day, I don't think anyone's as funny as those guys were in the 80s that could pull off this kind of slapstick physical comedy those guys did.
It helped that Leslie Nielsen was a dramatic actor.
Mm-hmm.
He was, all he did was mostly drama, him and George Kennedy.
Yeah.
And now they get to, you know, go against type and be comedies. You know, I think if they ever do a reboot of The Naked Gun, I don't think a comedian or a comedic actor should play it.
Right.
I think someone like Liam Neeson should be in that role.
I could see that.
Because I think a dramatic actor is much more suited in the lead role of
and
like
The
Naked Gun.
Face.
With
yeah.
a straight face. You know?
Yeah. I actually like that if I was to recast this movie. I think Leslie Nielsen would be really good. I mean,
Liam Neeson,
would be really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else is kind of a dramatic actor that's never done comedy?
That's never done comedy.
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood?
No, he's done comedy.
Eastwood's
done. He has?
Yeah.
Dude, in the 80s?
Yeah.
Every Which Way But Loose and some of those movies were kind of... They were kind of like... They were like dramedies, but they had some comedy in them. Yeah, or action-medies.
Oh, okay.
Is that a word? Action comedies, yeah.
Yeah. Him and Sandra Long.
Yeah.
Sandra Long.
Who he blacklisted.
Yeah. But, good stuff, man. Any final thoughts from y'all on The Naked Gun?
Man, the trilogy still holds up. I still watch those every once in a while. And it always gives me a good smile. Or chuckle.
It's a good afternoon watch. I mean, just
the third movie's the one that I've neglected the most. I haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Yeah, that one, it looks like the Magnum Force kind of inspired the theme there. It's about the Academy Awards and actors being killed off. And
oh, that's right. That's the one where he goes to the award ceremony.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Really?
Is that the third one?
In Dirty Harry?
No, but
Magnum
But the Naked Gun 3, that's where he goes
to the award show.
Deadpool, that's the one where celebrities are being killed off. And this one, actors and are being targeted at the
Academy.
That's
right.
Yeah. And the second movie was not as grand as the baseball or the Academy Awards, but it was more about the presidential banquet. But that's why people don't remember it as much.
And what's funny is almost every scene in this movie, in the original Naked Gun, was derived from other films. I mean, this is a straight-up spoof, and that's what a spoof is. And there's almost not a scene in this movie that isn't borrowed from another film, except maybe the baseball scene at the end. Might be the only scene in the movie they didn't borrow from another movie.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every other scene is borrowed from even the fish scene is borrowed from another film.
Yeah,
and that's was it?
Yeah. Enter the Dragon.
From Enter the Dragon. No, yeah. Game of Death. Yeah.
Game of Death.
Game of Death.
Mm-hmm.
There's a movie called Telephone or Telethon that two or three scenes are borrowed from in this movie. So it's a direct spoof from a movie. And that's what a spoof should be. You know, it should be spoofing other films.
I could have sworn that the scene in the slaughterhouse, the packing place, was a spoof on Batman because the goon fell into the vat of toxic waste.
Right.
And his hand was showing up, you know. I don't know if that was a spoof or not. But it came out the same year as Batman, I think.
Yeah. Well, no, this was 88. Batman's 89.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. Maybe just coinkydinks.
Probably a coincidence. Yeah.
But yeah, so The Naked Gun from the Files of Police Squad. If you've never seen it, you're missing out on a good comedy.
Yes, watch it.
You know?
Yeah. And if
and a relatively clean comedy. There's some adult jokes on it, but they're gonna, if you watch with the kids, it's gonna go over their head. You know?
Yeah. Which of the one of the directors went on to direct Ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does drive through a woman's gym shower, and you do see some cheek, just a little bit of cheek, but that's about it.
Yeah. Inside boob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a very robust woman in a bra whenever he's hanging from the the window sill.
He goes in.
<It's> like, but again, there's like kind of gag jokes that kids are gonna be like, what?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. A little creepy there, Leslie. Yeah, great movie. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
Yes,
it's a fun one.
Fun.
And y'all think I don't like? I do like some comedy. I'm just very picky about comedy.
Yeah.
Like I don't like sitcoms. I don't get like. Give me the Golden Girls back in the day. That was funny. But nowadays, you couldn't pay me to sit and watch. Like, Big Bang Theory, all that stuff, I watch it.
Did you like Frasier?
No, I never really liked Frasier.
Really?
Leslie. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, Big Bang Theory, like, why is that show so popular?
It's kind of mean-spirited.
You know? Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah.
What about the episode? There was apparently an episode where Luke officiates Sheldon's wedding.
Yeah.
Luke Skywalker.
Well, there's...
Oh, yeah, it had a lot of cameos in the show.
Yeah. But... Well, I know this season, William Shatner is going to be in it. And he's going to be playing a DM for a Dungeons & Dragons game.
That's funny.
With Will Wheaton and, you know, the Big Bang character. So they're going to play a D&D game with William Shatner's the Dungeon Master.
That's funny.
So they showed a production photo of it
right.
A couple days ago. So, anyways.
Shatner.
All right. Well, shall we move on to some news?
Shall
yes.
we?
Speaking of Shatner, they're going to do... Nickelodeon and Paramount are developing a Star Trek animated series for kids.
Oh, nice.
I think this is cool.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
I think it's cool.
I still watch the old animated shows sometimes on Netflix. I like it. I like 70s animation. Like, I've been watching some Superpowers lately on my DVDs and the Star Trek show that's on Netflix.
Are you talking about Super Friends?
Well, oh yeah, Super Friends.
Yeah.
The toy line with Superpowers.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I don't know, something about that 70s animation I really enjoy with, like, where there's only, they use a lot of stock footage and they use, you know, reuse it. Mm-hmm. But it's fun, man. I think it's a golden age of animation. And so Nickelodeon's developing this apparently with Paramount for children, for a Star Trek animated series. And you know, maybe this might be a really smart idea because, you know, Paramount, we've had the success of the J.J. Abrams directed and produced Star Trek films. And now it looks like we're not going to get part four. We've got Discovery on CBS. They're working on the Picard show. And I think part of Star Trek's problem is that new generations don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's up to our generation to teach new kids.
And whose fault is that? That's right. Paramount's fault.
And so maybe this is a good step in that direction to get kids interested in it. Yeah. And you know, and we'll, so I'm all for it. You know, we'll see. I don't know who, what cast it's going to be. You know, I'd like to maybe.
Yeah, what you know, timeline it's set in.
But it could be a lot of fun. And keep it somewhat serious, not too kiddish. You know, you don't want to do Teen Titans Go with Star Trek.
No.
You know, but do something fun. You know, maybe make it real adventure-filled, you know, and go from there.
So, yeah.
The Trek fan, what do you
I think the best way to go at it is definitely make it a – you know, kids love adventure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I remember as a kid I used to love playing Fort or like to build, you know – like submarines out of furniture and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And if they can hone in on a kid's sense of imagination and adventure, I think they'll do fine.
Yeah, which you is know, what the original Star Trek did as a TV show. And it's honed in on people's adventure and looking for an escapism on television.
Yeah. It'll probably look like Steven Universe or American Animation.
Right.
The standards of character design in American Animation is so bad, you know, like simplified body shapes and all that stuff.
A lot of squares.
I'm so used to watching anime, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I'm becoming an animation snob about
it. We need to hire someone.
The kids were watching Total Dramarama, and everyone is drawing like squares, and I'm not even sure what was going on. It's so weird. It's like there's no narrative to it. It's strange.
Yeah.
We were talking about this the other day. Did you see the trailer for The Highwayman, this movie coming to Netflix? We just covered The Untouchables a few weeks ago.
I saw the trailer the other day,
and too. And Costner is coming to, is in this with Woody Harrelson, and they play the cops who went after Bonnie and Clyde.
It's going to suck.
It's Netflix branded. You know, and that's the thing. That's the thing about Netflix, man. They're buying all these films, and they always have really good trailers, but there hasn't been one Netflix movie that's truly stood out for me yet.
Bright?
I didn't even make it through Bright.
I
tried.
Yeah.
I couldn't make it through the whole thing. I found it just kind of eh.
What was that other movie? The one with Sandra Bullock.
Bird Box. I still haven't watched that.
Bird Box.
So, you know.
I've seen mixed reviews on it. Some people really liked it. Some people are like, man, I thought it was going to be better.
Yeah.
Like, you know, not that it was bad, but it was either okay or good.
The Godzilla trilogy was a big disappointment.
I couldn't even make it through part one. It was boring.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we'll see. I mean, I'll watch Costner do almost anything. So I'm going to watch this just because it's Costner and mm-hmm. Woody Harrelson. So mm-hmm. keep our fingers crossed.
Setting it in the far future like that was a big mistake.
Oh, the Godzilla.
In my opinion. Yeah. Yeah. They should have set it somewhat modern day, and they should have put the fear of Godzilla, you know, in the
That and then part one, it's like 45 minutes before Godzilla even shows up.
Yeah.
It's like nothing happens for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
It's people standing around computers talking.
There's a twist at the end. There's a bigger Godzilla at the end.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So anyways.
Megala Godzilla.
Earth Godzilla.
Earth Godzilla.
Yeah.
So Gwyneth Paltrow announced she's done with the MCU after Endgame.
She felt she's too old for it.
And it seemed like no one cared. Like the news kind of hit and like, we were like, okay. There were some theories out there. Does this mean Tony dies? Not necessarily. You know, it just means that she feels her part is done, you know. At this point, though, what else is Pepper going to do unless she has Tony's baby, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's one thing that DC does a pretty good job with their characters versus Marvel, and Marvel's kind of playing catch-up, is that DC sets up legacy characters to take up the mantle of the superhero, you know, like... Dick Grayson became Batman for a little bit when you know, Bruce Wayne went out, and The Flash, you know, Barry Allen was actually, you know, picking up the mantle from the original Flash from Justice Society. You know, DC does a pretty good job of bringing in new generational characters, and now I think Marvel's doing the same thing where now Captain Marvel is going to probably start taking over for Captain America maybe, and
Spider-Man. Peter has Miles Morales now.
Yeah.
Things like that. Yeah.
And I don't know what the whole Sony and Disney deal is, but we'll see how that goes. Mm-hmm. But, hey, X-Men are coming in pretty soon, eventually.
Oh, I did rewatch Spider-Man Into the Spider-Universe again this weekend. Man, it's still amazing.
Yeah.
Such a great movie.
I haven't seen it yet. I need to rent that.
Speaking of DC, though, Affleck officially announced this. I guess it was the week before last. We didn't talk about it last week. But he announced he's definitely out as Batman as we move forward with Matt Reeves' Batman movie.
I'm looking forward to that.
And so we'll see who you know, there's all kinds of rumors in the week net this week about who's going to play Batman. None of them are true, you know, but expect it soon. Yeah. Matt Reeves says they are in full casting mode.
Yeah.
So we'll see who plays. I think everybody has their pick who should play him, but we don't know.
Someone unknown for sure.
Yeah. I would like to maybe see him go with someone unknown or someone like Jason Momoa level that's not super known, but maybe just known enough. Maybe something
Zac
like that.
Zac Efron. Yeah.
No. Not High School Musical. No, Zac Efron
should be Indiana Jones.
No.
The Rock.
You are suspended for the next episode for saying that. No.
Pauly Shore.
Who? Who?
Did you know that...
He's too old.
And, yeah. And speaking of Marvel, that was DC, but Marvel, Punisher and Jessica Jones, no one saw this coming, but they got canceled too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The great... Yeah,
the purge. Netflix purge. But then Jeff Loeb released a statement that giving people hope, you know, he's in charge of Marvel Television saying, don't worry, we hope to bring these shows back. But the problem is, even if Hulu buys them, Disney's going to have to spend a lot of money to get out of their Netflix contracts. And there's a lot of people believe that maybe Disney's looking into it. Because you don't want to wait 2 years, because by then Charlie Cox, Christian Ritter, everyone's going to go into other things.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is any chance in hell that these get bought away from Netflix... And go to Disney Plus or to Hulu or wherever. It's got to happen quick, you know. And God dang it, I really hope it does, you know, because I only watched the first episode of The Punisher, because now I'm like, do I even want to invest myself in season two if I'm not going to get more?
Because
I'm pissed off about watching Daredevil season three.
Yeah.
And the way it ends is it sets itself up for the classic Frank Miller storyline in season four, which would have been a beautiful thing to see on fucking television. And now we're not going to get it because they canceled it. So do I want to put myself through Punisher season two if I'm not going to get more? You know,
is Foggy still a little bitch in season three? Because he's been a little bitch for the first two seasons.
He's still a little bitch, but he gets a little better.
God, yeah, I can't say you can't do that. That's not legal.
He comes around and realizes by season three that Matt's right.
I can't stand him at times.
Yeah, like he grows a little bit of peach fuzz on his face, like a 13-year-old, and he gets a little bit of gall.
He supports Matt a little more in season three because he realizes how bad the Kingpin is.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Season three is worth watching.
Oh, so hell good. Yeah, dude.
It's the best season out of any of the Marvel shows. Absolutely. Yeah. Season three, Daredevil. I got one bit of news left. Did you know who the new Colonel Sanders is?
No. Oh, right. RoboCop.
Yeah. RoboCop.
Yeah.
And I guess they confirmed today that it is Peter Weller in the
what?
Suit.
What?
Yes.
Seriously?
That is hilarious.
I thought he swore off that suit.
They said today it's Weller. How awesome that 70-something years old.
They must have paid him a lot of money.
Is this a sign that he's going to be RoboCop and Neil Blomkamp's RoboCop Returns? I sure fucking hope so.
I hope so too, man.
I mean, I really want Peter Weller to do it if he's physically able to at his age.
Screw RoboCop. Actually, I like the first movie, but I still want Blomkamp to do the Alien fight.
Well, sure. Everything everybody does.
James Cameron needs to pull him aside.
But I'm down for RoboCop. I didn't write that down, but there is Alien news, too. Mm. Did you see that there's a lot of rumors there's going to be an Alien animated series. Oh. I guess they're shopping into streaming platforms. It's not bought yet, and it's going to be based on the video game on Alien Isolation.
Really?
That's been with Ripley's daughter.
Yeah.
Which I've only played a little bit of that game. I actually have it. I just haven't had time to really sit down and play it.
Good survival horror game.
Yeah, it's a really good game, what I played of it so far. And
I know there were two in development. I didn't realize one of them was animated.
Well, there's been a lot of rumor that there's a live-action development, too, also, and animation. And it seems like the animated version might be moving further along because they're trying to develop it and shop it to streaming platforms, and it's going to be based on the Isolation game. And I haven't heard much more about the live-action Alien series. It just seems to be more rumor at this point. But it just seems like that would be an awfully expensive live-action show to do if you're going to do it properly, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it seems like there's definitely interest in revitalizing the Alien franchise because Covenant was not what people were expecting, so but they're great characters, so I hope they are able to live on in some form. We get more Alien for sure.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm looking forward to it. And I have minor news. Earlier this month, the cat in the new Captain Marvel movie is called Goose,
mm-hmm.
and they did a live stream of just Goose just doing cat things. And Samuel L. Jackson came in and visited.
And these cat lovers out there probably watched it.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was only like an hour-long live stream.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, they have live streams of a fireplace at Christmas time in case you don't have a fireplace. So why not a cat?
Why not?
Yeah.
Wow. We have RoboCop eating chicken and a cat.
I have to check out that that commercial.
This is definitely a milestone episode.
I didn't realize it was Peter Weller.
Yeah, that's what they said. They were saying it is Weller. I guess there's like three different commercials out with him in it, apparently.
Really? So.
Man. Dead or alive, I'm eating your chicken.
Can't believe they got him in the suit.
That's awesome. So, yeah.
I'm sure it's like a half suit, though.
Probably. Just I saw one of the commercials. Now I think about it, I think it was body up.
Yeah.
If I remember right.
I think so.
Yeah. So, we're recording on Saturday night before the Oscars, and we could have been cliche and did an Oscar movie today, but we didn't. You know, we did The Naked Gun.
I forgot about it, personally.
Yeah.
And so we're going to do a Oscar-winning movie next week. And one of my all-time favorite movies, an epic, fantastic film. We're going to talk 1995's Braveheart.
I came back home to raise crops and, God willing, a family.
So you want me to marry you then?
Well, that's a bit sudden, but all right.
Is that what you'd call a proposal?
I love you. Always have. I want to marry you.
In a land of timeless beauty, William Wallace was a man of peace.
I want to stay here with you.
And I with you.
You say you want to stay out of the troubles?
If I can live in peace, I will.
But when they threatened his world...
Edward Longshanks is the most ruthless king ever to sit in the throne of England.
Scotland. My land.
And the woman he loved.
I want a home and children. It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
He was driven to war.
Go back to England and tell them there that Scotland's daughters and her sons are yours no more.
The rebellion has begun.
Under whom?
William Wallace. He rallies new volunteers in every Scottish town.
But come to fight and to die for you.
Stand up, man. I'm not the Pope.
Pick a flock of your finest assassins and set a meeting.
My lord, Wallace is renowned for his ability to smell an ambush.
We'll dispatch our future queen with the notion that she comes in peace.
Longshanks desires peace.
He declares it to me, I swear it.
You tell your king, William Wallace will not be ruled, nor will any Scot while I live.
He waits for you at York, if you are man enough to come and face him.
Why do you help me?
Because of the way you are looking at me now.
Where are you going?
I'm going to pick a fight.
Well, we didn't get dressed up for nothing.
We can't beat an army.
We can't! No, we will! Would you be willing, for one chance, just one chance, to tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
If we win, we'll have what none of us have ever had before. A country of our own.
Mel Gibson. Braveheart.
And man, this movie, I no idea what it was. I remember a good friend of mine, Mark Nasso, who you guys know, Mark said, hey man, you got to see this movie, you're going to love it. And I remember going to theaters with him to see it and walking out, and this is one of those movies, and I was in high school when it came out, and it developed my, you know, my cinematic yearnings as an adult, you know, realizing how epic films could be. And and Braveheart is still a great movie, and it's one of those historical movies that take some historical liberties with it, because I actually did a whole report in high school about William Wallace and I'll talk about that, the history differences, next week. Got your guys' preview thoughts on Braveheart.
I enjoyed it immensely when I first watched it. It's a movie that was, for me, one and done for me personally, because I didn't. It's like, you know, you watch a movie It was so epic. Mm-hmm. And you don't really want to spoil it by watching it again. It's kind of that weird thing, that mentality sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's like that pure joy of watching that movie. I didn't want to lose it, mm-hmm. you know, on Makes first sense. Impression. So I haven't watched it since the first time I've seen it.
Yeah.
You know? So admittedly, I might just do a... just an overview, because I still kind of want to hold on to that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I have it on a DVD just in case.
Yeah.
And Matt?
I haven't watched it in over a decade. Yeah. It was on Encore one time, and I watched it, and I remember liking it a lot. I remember him taking like a ball on a chain and smashing a guy's face mm-hmm. in.
Yeah.
And that's probably the scene that sticks with me every time someone says Braveheart. I imagine Mel Gibson just taking that, smashing a guy's head like friggin' Gallagher on a watermelon.
Not his execution scene. That one's pretty graphic.
That one's pretty graphic.
And it also has a scene in it that is, to me, maybe top 10 in all of cinema. And that's where Robert the Bruce betrays him.
Oh,
that scene is just
talking about whenever he parks his car in the garage.
You know, there's a Netflix movie based on Robert the Bruce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Outlaw King with Chris Pine. No, yeah. I know. I need to watch it. Mm.
He has a redemption arc.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah. And he has
in real life.
Yeah. Yeah. Even in real life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what I learned in my report, that when I did that for a college report, that the Scottish Revolution was more about Robert the Bruce than it ever really was about William Wallace.
Yeah.
You know, and but just that scene, and we'll talk about it next week. That scene is, to me, a top 10 scene of all time, because mm-hmm. I remember seeing it in cinemas and just my jaw dropped like, wow. You know, he betrayed him. It was just emotionally intense.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch it again. So,
can't wait to talk about the historical aspects of it, too.
Great, great movie. So next week.
So kilts next week? We're going to wear kilts?
No.
Claymores?
I don't have a kilt.
I'm too Asian for a kilt.
Yeah. Too Asian for a kilt.
Are you sure?
Frank has a kilt.
How Asian are you?
Not Asian enough, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you're Asian enough. Wear a kilt.
With underwear.
Actually, I was thinking about wearing a Roddy Piper getup.
A Roddy Piper getup?
For my 40th.
Nice.
I was going to order a kilt and wear the Roddy Piper shirt.
That's awesome. Yeah. Do it. Go to Hot Topic.
I'll do it on my 50th.
Do it.
On your 50th?
Yeah.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
Well.
If I live that long.
If you live that long.
That's all I've got. Follow us on Twitter at Rubber Radio Pod. We're almost 900 followers.
Ooh.
I don't know how many of those are bots, but you know what? I don't care.
So who cares? 900.
Yep. The Rubber Radio Podcast.com, where you can link to everything we're on, Spotify, iHeartRadio, especially iTunes. And I know the evil Dr. Tran has been supporting, pushing that. Leave us a review. It literally takes like 2 minutes to hit the 5 stars and say, hey, these guys kick ass. Or you can say, we fucking suck. I don't care.
Yeah,
a review is a review. You know, and that helps out a lot. And we appreciate it, and follow us on all social media platforms so you know what's going on. And on the Rebel Radio Podcast.
The Rebel Radio Podcast. That's,
you know, anything else? I covered it all?
You got it all.
I got it all. You got it all. I don't know. So until next week, everyone, have a good week. Thanks as always for
until
listening.
Until then, freedom!
Freedom! You will take our lives, but you shall never take our freedom. That's going to be a fun movie to talk
about.
That is
going to be.
This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Evil.
Until next time, just go there and do it.
Do it.
Hey, you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. My name is Sean Patrick Flannery, and I hope you dig the podcast.
This is Booker T, Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Rebel Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?